Sister Mary George last evening. This is Sunday, April the 8th, 1973. Sister Mary George is going to contact some of the Chippewa Indians on the Mille Lacs Reservation to see whether they can tell me something that has, to tell me what has changed for the Chippewa since the 1930s and the present time. I made my studies in the 1930s, and this is now the 1970s. That's been 40 years.
First, it's from kindergarten to third grade, because this is an area in the state that's very lacking with material for Indians, anything on Indians. No, the material that we're planning on developing will be used in the public schools for the state of Minnesota. It won't be developed just strictly for the Indian children. We would like to do some of that kind of developing, but it's not very practical anymore, since they go to school all over.
There are no schools then anywhere in the cities, Twin Cities that you know of, that have only Indian children in them.
Yes.
I think so.
We have AIM school here.
AIM's A?
A-I-M. Their school is all. It's American Indian Movement School.
You know, we are
Pardon? Emily has about between 35 to 50. She said the employees fluctuate. Sometimes we have about 50 employees under Emily.
Are there, does that include both?
That includes both centers, yes.
Both centers.
We have, on the south side, our service area. We have service people in housing, employment, social services, and then we have a youth component, and part of the youth, one office is on this side of town and one's on that side of town. They do most of their work in the evening with the young people. They organize activities for them. Not as much as activities inside of this building or outside of the building, you know, but they are the coordinators, they organize them. Housing, we give the people a part of their rent deposit, and people are able to find. Most of our people don't have that kind of money, you know.
No.
The deposit plus their rent, it's pretty hard to do, and that's about what the landlords demand here now, is a deposit.
Do most of the Chippewa in the when they leave the reservation, after they leave the reservation, do they find work?
Yes, they do. It's hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the job part is the hardest part. I think it's accepting the fact that there's like rent. They weren't used to a high rent. They weren't used to light bills. They aren't not used to water, telephone. It's so hard to try to make somebody understand that all of these things cost a lot of money. Although they might be making a lot of money, you know, it sounds good, like $3 or $4 an hour, $5 an hour. That sounds really great. But when you start, you know, looking at the cost of your living expenses that you weren't used to paying for, it's rather difficult for them to understand the budgeting. And I don't mean to put people on a put down, because, you know, I mean, I don't try to have a paternalistic attitude, but it's real, it's there, and it's I think one of our biggest problems coming from the reservation to say Minneapolis is our kinship ties, and that's if we have a relative that's still on the reservation, we want to help them so desperately because we know there's no work there, that we let them come and stay in our houses, and so it destroys our economy. We might be just making it, say, with a job, you know. And we try to help them. But I guess I would do the same thing if I had a relative still on the reservation that came here trying to find a job. I would do the same thing.
What kind of jobs do they find here?
Oh, every kind. think our people can fit into a lot of good jobs. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they'll just take any job, you know, mm-hmm. And sometimes stay with it without, you know, getting a better job because they have the potential for better jobs.
Mm-hmm. How do they happen to leave? Why do they leave the reservation? And how do they leave? Does somebody solicit them to come?
No.
Or do they make up their own minds they'd like to
come? I think it's not really a matter of choice anymore. It's a matter of mm-hmm. of must. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing there.
Nothing on the reservation.
There's some pockets of jobs, you know, but very few. There's, I would say, more than there was 20 years ago through government development type jobs, OEO programs. But yeah, those programs aren't big enough for everybody to have a job. So you develop just, you know, a few people, and which is fine too, as long as we get some help.
You know, some years ago I was down here with a friend. I don't remember now what brought us down. I think we had a program up at St. Benedict's, and I had invited two of the women that I knew had come off the reservation. They came up, and then we had this program, and they said, well, why don't you come down sometime, sister? I was teaching sociology then.
Mm-hmm.
So I came down, and it was very interesting. I went to one home, and the man had a nice job.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife complained so bitterly that he didn't stick by it.
Yes,
and he said, I can't, he said, my Indian nature tells me I work hard for 2 weeks, then I'd like 3 days off.
Yeah.
See? That's the way it was on the reservation, he said, and why should I come here and work for the white man? That was one complaint. Another man said, I have a job, and I'm doing very well, I'm well paid, but the other day, when time came, all the other men left. The janitor said, you better go. He said, well, if I can have 15 more minutes, I can get this thing through, see it through. And the janitor said, if you don't leave right now, I'm going to lock you in, and you can be here all night. So he said, I had to go. He said, why can't they do a little bit like the Indians would like it done? Why must we do like they?
The
Indian will
good.
Work at uh-huh. something, and he finishes it off.
Uh-huh.
So I've wondered, have you run into anything like that? I would call it maladjustment to the economic situation in the city.
No, I guess not, because we're not that close to that end of the problem. I don't know if that's a problem, really, but we're not that close to the working men.
Yes.
Well, we more or less take them to the door, if that.
Mm-hmm.
We refer them to the right door, I guess, is mm-hmm. about what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever see what happens once they close that door and mm-hmm. or walk into that building, you know.
And that's their job, their
right.
problem.
Uh-huh.
Do you girls have training for your work here? See, what I'm driving at is
some
not to find the individual thing. I'm trying to get something to put into this preface of changes that have come. Because this is unique to have these Indian mm-hmm. centers.
We haven't had any specific training for this, except the way Emily has kind of worked some of her people before.
Mm-hmm.
She's referred them to jobs, and they've gotten jobs, and they've learned from that job, and then turned around and came back to Upper
mm-hmm.
Midwest
mm-hmm.
and applied their knowledge to what they have learned
mm-hmm.
to help the Indian
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
now they're
like
on staff. Yeah,
sure, it's the way it's done all over, you know. Not unique. It's just simply sometimes they say, why doesn't the Indian fit himself into the situation as it is? I said, non-Indians can't even do that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how can you get an Indian come off a reservation and do it?
I think what you could say, you know, you're looking for what has happened between when
mm-hmm.
you did your research.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, I think the biggest thing and the best and most positive thing that's happened is
mm-hmm.
that we're Indians and we're finally owning up to the fact that we are different and we want to be different.
Mm.
And we'll maintain our difference now
mm-hmm.
in a proud way.
Yes.
Well, we are different. Who else has the drum in this state?
Yeah.
who else has that type of singing? Who else has our language? Our language is really strengthening. Everybody's wanting to learn our language again. Our own people are trying very hard. They have established this in the Department of Indian Studies at the university. However, it's under the foreign language.
It is. That's interesting, isn't it? Foreign language.
Yes.
Well,
But I guess they couldn't put it under anything else.
No, and sometimes you see the appropriation.
That's right.
But money, legislature,
it's just kind of a little inside joke, yes.
Sure. Yes. Do many participate in that program, do you know, at the university?
I don't know how many students we have, but just a minute, please.
Sometimes they come out as drum and just ask for it. What usually happens with For most people, junior year.
Bring it closer to her.
This is very important. Very often, what happens in freshman and junior year, a lot of people come on, maybe on probation. They start
school.
High school
or college?
College. I'm talking about college. And they start out with maybe C's, and maybe a couple of B's. But by the time they get to senior college, their grades are going up, and they're getting B's and A's. So the now this is the ordinary curve. But for Indian people, they start out stronger. They start out with maybe B's and A's and then go down to C's by the time they graduate, which means to get into graduate school you have to hold a B average.
Yes.
So a lot of our people do not get into graduate school because of this, so they just stop right there.
What explanation would you have for that?
I don't know.
Teachers should know.
Well, this is what I discovered at the university when we were interviewing for some graduate, postgraduate, higher degree people. That the people actually could make it. They did make it. They went on to get masters and PhDs, but their undergraduate work would discourage it on an ordinary basis. But that was a normal Indian curve, and I don't know why it's like that.
One wonders why that is.
They just get an extra boost and then they made it.
Maybe there's not enough interest shown.
I don't know. Unless they're working more toward the end of the school and they don't devote enough time to studies or something. Maybe for money. Yeah.
Yes.
But all the way through in our educational program, the kids start out good. The kindergarten grades, first, second, third grades are pretty close to the level of everybody as we go up. It goes down, and it isn't the intelligence of the people. Right. It's something, another factor that's working.
Do they give them intelligence tests?
Oh, sure. But intelligence tests are geared toward a different culture.
Yes, you're right. I just
so it doesn't truly test it. Right. Unless you give a non-verbal test, a performance test. Mm-hmm.
I'll bring that back out.
We've been using up on our... They haven't gotten much on it except my conversation, which isn't of any value. Tell me about this.
Okay. Up in the Midwest started a satellite school.
Is it still going?
Yes. It was started as to fill a need for children that were near dropping out of school. Mm. You know, they're at the point of dropping out of school. And it started with just a few students, and now we have... when they're all here, from 20 to 30 students. Mm-hmm. Some of the students had been out of school like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
high school?
They've been out of high school already for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Been dropouts. And mm-hmm. they wanted to come back to school, and then they fit when they came back to mm-hmm. our school. So it's really been helpful. This is our second year that we've had a school running.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it part of the educational system of Minneapolis?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an accredited school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
who teaches?
Teachers from North High.
And the children are all Indian children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great step forward, I think.
Yes, it is.
Dropouts. Do most dropouts come?
They aren't all dropouts that are in the class. They're, they just feel more comfortable with Indian kids. I think they can participate more here. I think they don't participate as much in the public school as they do with their own kind. They just, they're more relaxed. It's really different.
Feel at home.
Yes.
Most of us feel at home with our own.
That's right.
I know when I'd see anybody when I'd leave before the countries and I'd see an American.
That's
American.
One of your own.
Yes.
That's
right.
True. You develop a strong kinship for somebody that's...
Do you find places after these college students have finished, do you find them do they find occupation? I see here as some is social work and accounting and forestry, psychology, marketing, theater, art. Do they have some...
fine arts, fourth year in fine arts.
Yes. I mean, what after they've once finished college and they have their bachelor's degree?
Yes, they're in such demand.
Are they?
In the Indian... Well, they're not only demanded in the Indian community, they're demanded all over. Wouldn't you say, Emily?
Yeah.
I think that our people are really lucky. If they have an education, they are in such demand. It's...
I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's what I told
these few
that I talked to, especially these black people. They have such a chip on their shoulder. There's such a difference. They are all, well, they're hurt. But I said that you're not making any progress as long as you're going to harbor the hurt.
That's
make
right.
up your minds to get some education, I said, and you'll be all right, you'll be wanted.
Mm-hmm. They are, you know, if we had more college graduates right now, they just clamor for them.
They do.
It was quite striking last year, I think, the teachers in the public school systems were having a hard time finding jobs.
Yes, they were.
But our Indians weren't.
Not?
No, they were like jewels.
Is that right?
That's right.
I wonder what makes that difference.
Because of the minority, demand for minority people.
Oh, yes. The difference was because of the demand for minority people. In other words, people are beginning to be conscious of the fact that there are minority groups in our country that have rights. Would you say?
Yes.
But did the Indians participate in the civil rights?
No, but they've certainly become aware of the Indians because of this. I think. I mean, nobody ever looked around and said, "There's an Indian," before until.
Are most of these places positions filled in the Indian service? Are they filled by Indians? There was a demonstration, as you know, in Washington saying that the Indians were not given opportunities to fill positions. I know that the Bureau of Indian Affairs, I had some dealings with it, and I'm sorry to say, but I didn't have much respect for it.
I think when you're saying the Indians don't have many positions in the Bureau of Indian Affairs, I think that can be stated very matter-of-factly. Do you agree, Emily? With the Bureau of Indian Affairs, that the Indians do not have as many jobs in there as we should have.
Well, there's an Indian preference law. It means that an American person has a preference over another person. Say they're both qualified exactly the same. The Indian person would have a preference, like a veteran's preference. If they pass the test, they go up over the others and get the job. But however, that's only for entry. For promotions, that doesn't apply. So therefore, we have a lot of Indian people working on the lower levels, in the stenographic divisions and in the lower administrative. But when it comes to the top,
there's no
not.
Ladder.
No, and there doesn't seem to be any program that helps Indian people to learn so that they can get their way up. We have an Indian person who's our area director here, but this is the first time we've ever had an Indian person. And his name is Ray Lightfoot. He's very good. He's worked his way up through the Bureau. But I think that's more an unusual case than a usual case. But it's like anything else, you know. Jobs are jobs, Charlie. There are people who hold on to it.
Yeah, and there's
competition.
Thanks,
Jim.
Well, what do you think has been the greatest progress for the Indians since the 30s, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s?
Emily, what's the greatest progress since the 30s?
I think the best thing that's happened to us is that Indian people have become aware of their own worth and their own good, and the goodness of our own people, which has been, you know, kind of put down all these years. So we're beginning to understand that our people weren't such dum-dums after all. They really had a good culture and a good society. This makes an altogether different attitude of people about themselves.
Did,
that's the best thing that's happened.
Yes. Does that, do you think that extends out generally or just in your, within your own group?
No, I think that's all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just taking a look at the values that we have now, the values our people had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fact, people didn't steal, people didn't die, people didn't commit adultery, people, all these things that are bad that are happening now.
And before the white man came, there wasn't any intoxication because the Chippewa never had an intoxicating liquor. Do you think the young people are aware of the fact of the values of their old culture?
We're trying to teach them.
Mm-hmm. In teaching them, they'll get an appreciation of it, but they can hardly live much of it, can they?
Well, they can learn and respect them.
He's what?
Pueblo from the southwest.
Oh, yeah, she's a Pueblo. Yes, I'm down among the Pueblos.
He's from Laguna.
Laguna.
Yeah. I'll come with you. Do you want to go back there? Yeah.
What does Pueblo Zuni mean, Bob?
What
does that mean?
Zuni is the name of a tribe, and it's one of the Pueblo tribes. See, they use
Pueblo. Is it a big, like a big nation, and then
there's individual
like Zuni 19. Is part of the big nation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Zuni is one of the tribes one of the 19 tribes that make up the Pueblos.
Well, I'm doing something on the art exhibit, and I wanted, if I'm talking about something, I have to know what Emily is. Emily Peake is one of the 5 housing commissioners in Minneapolis. And they control everything that has to do with housing in Minneapolis.
How did she
They set policy. She was appointed by, recommended by the mayor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Better check with her to find
out. You know, it's those things, I think, that are such an advancement over what there was in the 1930s.
Right.
See, there goes our Pueblo friend.
Oh, yeah.
Do most Indians in Minneapolis live here in this area?
Two parts of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
One's on the south side and one on the north side that the concentration is at. I would say Franklin Avenue area. Two,
That won't be too important because nobody knows.
Nobody's going to know the difference.
But the north, if there's a concentration in an area, that, of course, is interesting because, well, the people feel at home in an area like that where they can be together. So, do they practice their Madeiran religion here in Minneapolis?
It's very difficult to say. I personally do not know anyone that does.
Mm.
However, I know some people that say that they know somebody that does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's something that's still pretty secretive or mysterious. Or,
Do you know of any medicine men in Minneapolis?
Not myself. Emily probably would know that. Do you know any medicine men in Minneapolis? Yes, she does.
Yeah. Well, they just live like
Mr. John Shumbleby. Okay.
But why don't you
and then you can control it here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It should.
I have the leads, you see. They're going to put out a second edition for this at the Smithsonian. Everything will be exactly as I have it here, only they want an additional preface, which will tell what changes have occurred since. The book was published in 1951, but I made the studies in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the Smithsonian sent me.
Cream.
Yeah, okay. I'll be back. You see, Andy, what I think this amounts to is, you see, there have been so many advances for the Indians since I made the study in the 1930s that I think we should record those things that have that are advances, definitely advances for the Indians. For instance, this center. And there's a center like it. I have the address of that one, too, under Emily Peake. The very fact that this all of this is under the control of the Indians is important.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a time when, well, there'd be one Indian and she'd sort of have to shy away because everybody else was bossing her around. Tell me, what changes do you see that have really occurred in the Indian service in recent years? This is a tape recorder, you see.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that Indians are being able to do more things for themselves. They've got a bigger voice in the things that are being done for them. I don't think that they've advanced as far as the blacks have. And I think until the BIA thing happened, I don't really think that they had never been destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as school goes, there's been really a big change in the school. I can remember when I went to school that in third grade when we studied the Indians, our teacher told us that when maple syrup was harvested, the Indians went home and took the blankets off their bed that they had used all winter and without washing them. This is what they used to strain the syrup. And I was really upset about that. I was probably the only Indian in the class. And that was at Irving School, which is now a predominantly Indian school.
Irving, where is Irving School?
It's on 27th and 17th Avenue South. And I went home and I told my mother about it, and she was pretty upset. But see, at that time, things weren't done, and they weren't as aware of the things that they are now.
What? A little bit. Thank you, this is nice. Thank you very much.
I think they're taking more of an interest, a real interest, in Indian people now than they were.
The Indians themselves or the...
No, whites.
Whites.
And I think in the schools especially. You know who would be a good one for you to talk to is my mother.
Where is she?
Oh, she's in Portland and Franklin, but she's been active in Indian work for years.
Where is she here, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She's been in a lot of organizations. Like she's been with Upper Midwest since it first started. She was with the organization
that... I don't think this is...
Yeah, she was with the organization that was the forerunner of Upper Midwest.
Is that right?
Yeah. So she's been active for years and years, you know. Like she was in the Sakate Club, which was... at the time was part of the